Thank you for leading us in worship, you guys. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Go ahead and roll Romans chapter 8 with me. As we continue our study of God's Word here in this chapter, we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 11 this morning. Go ahead and grab your outline, give you a minute to do that. So we're opening up to Romans chapter 8. We'll be looking at verses 4 through 11. Grab your outline, help follow along. Romans 8 is about our life in the Spirit. As we've been defining that as we go along, this great chapter with all the incredible truths of God encouraging us. It's about our life, our new life in Christ, our transformed life in Christ by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the focus of chapter 8 of Romans. We're really learning really about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the true ministry of it, the foundational to our understanding of how the Holy Spirit works in this world and this life. This chapter really gives us an immensely clear and far-reaching description of the work of God by His Holy Spirit in our lives who belong to God. That's really what it's really presenting to us. It defines for us life in the Spirit, starting from when the Holy Spirit pierced our heart with the truth of the gospel, began in our salvation to set us apart unto God, set us apart from sin, and it goes all the way through by the work of the Holy Spirit, by the power of Him, of sanctification, to grow us to live a life set apart from sin, to be conformed to the image of Christ. Chapter 8 features the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation, sanctification. If you look at your outline with me, it's right there on the top. I put down just a description of what's through this chapter, and we've been digging into this, and we will for quite a while, but here's what our life by the work and power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit frees us from sin and death. He enables us to fulfill the law of God. He changes our nature. He empowers us for victory and confirms our adoption. He guarantees our glory. He aids us in our prayer, and He completes the purpose and progress of salvation through the work of sanctification. Then the chapter is going to end with a song of eternity. This is an incredible chapter. This chapter gets to the real work and power of Him, the Holy Spirit, and is foundational to us understanding the true work of the Holy Spirit. I won't get into all the things that go out in the world and get promoted and get said about what the Holy Spirit is actually doing and what it does do and all of that. That's really not helpful to look at what is wrong taught about it. What's helpful is really get definitive of what the truth of the work of the Holy Spirit is. That's how God presents it. That's what we're looking at. That's what we are. Why we are looking here in chapter 8, so we understand our lives in the Spirit. We're digging into a lot of that. So let's begin by looking at chapter 8. I'll read verses 1 through 11 so we capture the context, we capture the flow of the text and the flow of God's Word and what He's saying, and here we'll make some observations and work through our outline today, work through God's Word. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. Verse 8, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If or since Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, you yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Incredible teaching what's in here about our life, the transformed life that we have in Christ. Incredible what the work of God is through the Holy Spirit, the work and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, what He's done. We've been looking at it. First observation we finished up last week is that our life in the Spirit is freedom from sin's condemnation. That's 1 through 4. The beginning of 4, our status, our new status in life, because we have life in Christ. The new status is there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. He did that. We have been set free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit set us free from sin's power, from sin's dominion, from sin's penalty, and one day from sin's presence. He set us apart to God. He set us apart from that. And it's through believing and trusting in Christ and his atoning sacrifice on the cross that that getting set free from sin and death comes. And only the Holy Spirit pierces the heart with the truth of the gospel to bring someone to repentance, to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. And then in that, the Spirit of God sets us free from the law of sin and death and moves us in the operating principle of our life, of life in the Spirit of God. It's incredible. I mean, it's transformed. It is absolutely just opposed against what you used to be, and that's what he's been teaching us. And he said the Holy Spirit enables us to fulfill God's law. That's what we looked at last week, beginning of verse 4, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. He does this by imputing Christ's righteousness to us. God's does this, the Holy Spirit. He imputed and credited Christ's righteousness to us, but what he did was impute or credited our sin to Christ. The Holy Spirit did that. Remember last week we read from Martin Luther, and he wrote this: faith unites the soul with Christ as a spouse with her husband. Everything which Christ has becomes the property of the believing soul. Everything which the soul has becomes the property of Christ. Thus, by faith, the believer's soul is delivered from sins and clothed with the eternal righteousness of the bridegroom, Christ Jesus. This the Holy Spirit did. You are now seen that you are righteous before God. You met the requirement because Christ did, not because you did. That's the new principle of my life. The work of the Holy Spirit is now to lead you in sanctification, to live the righteousness that has been imputed and credited to you on the basis of what Christ did. And not only did he impute or credit righteousness to us, he imparted us a righteousness. Every believer in Christ has been given a transformed life, imparted righteousness, the right way to live from God. It's your new life. The Holy Spirit did that. Once you believe, he did it then. It's done. There's no more getting more of it. There's no more I need more of him. It's basically what the New Testament teaches is learning to be submitted and controlled and led by the power of God, by the Spirit of God himself. We have all that God wanted to give us in our salvation. At the moment of our salvation, now it's sanctification, learning how to live what we have. That's where we pick up today. It's going to get really definitive here on what this new life is, this transformed life, but this life that you have in Christ, it's good that you understand how definitive it is, what God has done. That you're assured of this. This is God's word on being really clear of what you have in this transformed life. Not only do we not have the imputed righteousness of Christ, we have an imparted righteousness of Christ. By the work and power of the Holy Spirit, we have a transformed life. For in salvation, the Holy Spirit changed your nature, changed my nature completely. God gave you a new life with a new nature. He gave you a new life with a new nature. This is the doctrine of conversion, of regeneration, of born again, that you are a new creation. I'm a new creation. I have a new nature, a new way of me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that all that are in Christ are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's a new nature. It's a new life. And that's what we're going to dig into. Just incredible truth. So the life in the Spirit is a work of God by his power of giving every believer a transformed life. He did it. 2 Peter 1:4 says it this way: God has granted to us through his magnificent promises to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to become partakers of a divine nature, a Christ-like nature that escapes the corruption that is in the world, lust. My new life in Christ, my new nature has escaped the corruption of the world, lust. My flesh, my old self, my unredeemed humanity, we've looked at that many, many times. It desires what it desires, not God, but my new life, that's all it desires. The new nature desires to live righteously, desires to honor God and his word. It's a newness of life, completely new, not addition, but transformation, Romans 6:4 says newness of life. So we're just confronted as I bring this up, as this just comes into our heart. Wow, I have that new life and I have the newness of life, and it desires to live righteous and desires to live the way God wants it to live, but it's so hard. Amen? And I seem like I fall short. I do fall short. Got an amen right here in the first row. No condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. It's why he wants you to understand you've been free from sin's condemnation, because he understands that in our new life, it's a walk with God, it's a relationship with God, it's a growing with God. It's not about living perfectly, although holiness is what we seek. One day I'll live completely holy. But in this life, what God wants to do with you in this life is walk with you every day and grow you in more and more Christ-likeness. He enjoys it. We were talking about a Sunday school today. When God brings you to repentance, it pleases God that you saw that this isn't what he wanted and that you want this in his life, in your life, on how to live. And then he works it by the power of his Holy Spirit to make it more of what you're like. God is pleased in that because he saved us to reconcile us to himself. And so it's so important as we dig into how definitive this trip. This is where you get the topic heading, a transformed life, in Romans chapter 6 through 8, right here in these verses. You are alive to God now, so am I. Never was before this transforming work by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what God's word is saying at the end of verse 4. Look at it with me. This is what we're going to pick up here. A life in the Spirit is a transformed life. Look at the end of verse 4. He says this, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I touched on that last week. But it says we do not walk according to the flesh. We do walk according to the Spirit. This is a statement of fact, not an admonition or an encouragement for the Word of God. That if we've been given that life in Christ and imparted with the righteousness of Christ and imputed the credited with the righteousness of Christ, now we can fulfill God's law, that kind of thing. And now that's all true on who walks according to the Spirit. It's not that. This is a definitive statement. Walk refers to a habitual way or bent of life. Get this, you guys, or lifestyle. According to means in accordance with or in relation to. So he's saying this, that in your salvation, the Holy Spirit regenerated you, a born again, new creation, changed your nature. You now have a bent, a lifestyle, a habitual way of you that in his relation to the Holy Spirit, that's the transformed life. That's how we are. We walk according to the Spirit of God. I have a bent, I have a way of life in me, I have a habitual way of life that is in relation to the way the Holy Spirit wants me to live, and it happened in my salvation. I got a changed nature. Every believer does. Every believer does, the moment of salvation. And the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your life and guide and lead your life. Now, it's a stumble, it's a struggle, I get all of that. But this is a statement of fact, is what he's talking about here. You now have a habitual way of life in you. It's your new nature, your new life, that in relation to the Holy Spirit walks. That's what he's saying. And if you're not saved, you're bent, your habitual way of life, the way you live is in relation to the flesh and doesn't know or follow God one bit. Two kinds of people he's determining here. He's definitive for a reason, for us to know, to understand, for us to know what God has done in our life and what the transforming work of the power of the Spirit does in the life of somebody that has trusted in Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. It's transformed. Yes, we have the present battle with the flesh. We'll get to that later. I don't like dwelling in that one, but it's because it's so real. But it's no longer the way of you. Yes, it's a battle, but it's no longer the way of you. By God's divine power, you have been changed. New nature, doctrine of regeneration, born again, new creation. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. The apostle is describing two kinds of people in verse 4. Look at your outline. Two kinds of people, those who live according to the flesh. Write this right there. They cannot do otherwise. nobody that is living according to the flesh, that doesn't have this transformed life, that hasn't been born again, that hasn't been regenerated, nobody cannot live according to the flesh. Two kinds of people. That's all they do. That is the habitual way, their only way, the way of them. That's what he's talking about. Only according to the flesh. Scripture says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, that the way of them in the flesh, the lost people, is only, all of it, in relation to the course of this world, lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh, and by mind, by nature, children of wrath. That's everyone's nature apart from salvation, everyone. He's being very definitive. That's what it is. That's the truth of God's word. That's what it is. They all are. I was, you were, before salvation, all of us before the saving grace of Christ were. By the power and work of the Holy Spirit, he changes our nature. There's only two kinds of people, one that live according to the flesh, one that live according to the Spirit. You have been born again, made new, new birth. That's what he's talking about. You now, the very nature of being of you, lives according to the Spirit and dwelt by the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God. You are the psalmist of Psalm 119. By God's transforming power, the nature of you seeks God, loves God's law. Establish my way, Lord, by your word, your desire, God, to teach you his way, teach you his word. You want to observe, you want to keep, you want to live God's righteous way. Now, it's a struggle and a journey for everybody, but it's there. It's who you are in Christ. By the power and work of the Holy Spirit, God did this to everybody that is a child of God. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, peace, joy, all of those, self-control, start happening, being produced in you, because God does that, and God is going to complete and is completing the work that he started, and it's called Christ-likeness, and God's doing it and will do it. This is who you are. You live and have a bent in life in relation to the Holy Spirit. Your bent is in relationship to how the Holy Spirit wants you to live your life. We battle the flesh. We spent a lot of weeks on that. In the future here, I'll talk about it some more, but this is what God brings in salvation. This is what it is. Now, it's not to make it so we doubt, do we have it? It's to encourage us that we have it. Let's focus on letting it lead our life, because the challenge is it for let it to have control, the Holy Spirit in our life. That's the challenge in our life, is to deny the flesh, take up the cross, follow Christ. That's the challenge. God's already given us the life that wants to follow the Spirit of God, desires God, the Spirit wants to lead. A transformed life. So he moves on, and look what he says. Turn your outline over. Look what he says in verse 5. He says this. There's two kinds of people, and he says two kinds of mindsets. Two kinds of thought patterns that are a habitual way of people. They're bent of their mind, including affections, will, and reasoning. That's what he's talking about. Two kinds of people. Ones that live according to the flesh. Ones that live according to the Spirit. Two kinds of mindsets. Those who are according to the flesh and those who are according to the Spirit. Verse 5, he says this. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now again, he's talking about a fact here, a truth. If you live according to the flesh, your mind is only set on according to the things of the flesh. Nothing else. Now, if we live according to the Spirit, he's given us a mind, a thought pattern, a habitual way to think and to learn and to grow, and we are in a battle on which one we're going to follow, our own God's way, God's word, God's truth, renewing our mind on how it thinks and what God wants to do in it, or are we going to battle and follow the fleshly way? That's a challenge of the Christian. But listen, the bent of the mind includes affection, will, and reasoning. Those who are according to the flesh, the mindset is on earthly things only, Philippians 3:19. According to 1 Corinthians 2:14, listen to this, they cannot accept or understand the things of the Spirit of God, including the Word of God, which the Holy Spirit authored, for they are foolishness to them, and they cannot understand them. Titus 1:15 says this, that their minds and conscience are defiled, always will be. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit, only by the work of the Holy Spirit, can anyone understand or hear or see the truth of the gospel. And only by the work and power of the Holy Spirit can anyone have a mindset changed. It happens at salvation. It's pretty definitive, isn't it, what he's teaching here? Now, he doesn't say everything that I've said, but these are what the words are saying and what they mean. This is the Apostle Paul telling us about what the work of the Holy Spirit is in your life and in the world, and what and the definitiveness about people that he has worked in and hasn't. People that have salvation and don't. But when we put our faith and trust in Christ, and the Holy Spirit gives us a changed nature, a changed heart, we can look at different things, a transformed life, we become those with a mindset according to the Spirit. Now, let me read you just out of 1 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16 on the contrast of that. It's pretty dynamic. And this is what's happened to each and every one of us that have the new nature, the new life. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, 14, listen to what he says. He says, and a natural man is those that live according to the spirit or according to the flesh and have a mindset on the flesh. That's what a natural man means. He says, but it's a lost person. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. So somebody that is unsaved, that is lost, they can't, it's the word of God is foolishness to them. But the Spirit of God is full until the Spirit of God pierces their heart with the truth of the gospel. But listen to what he says next. But he who is spiritual, that means that he has new life in Christ, that he's been born again, regenerated, made new, that he lives according to the Spirit, he has the mindset according to the Spirit, appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For he who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, the mind that loves God, loves God's word, loves to be obedient to what God wants to do, understands God's way, can see the truth of God, desires to live the truth of God with all the affections and reasoning will that go with it. That's who you are. That's what God did in your transformed life. He gave you a habitual way of mind, of will, emotions, affections in your new life. That is the mind of Christ. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? Peace for me, as I go through this and I keep working through this, I just keep recognizing on how much I just kind of dwell in my old way of life mindset, and in a way of that's a gratifying flesh mindset. But then as I study God's word and look and surrender my life to Christ, I see that I have a thought and a behavioral action and a way of me and a desire of me that wants to continually follow for God to sanctify my life and make it more like his. Well, that only came in salvation. Because if you don't, that's not in anybody apart from salvation. We just read the natural man thinks God's things are foolishness. He can't see them, hear them, understand them. So this is the life that God has given us. This is the new life, the transformed life. So you're capturing this. I have life. I live according to the Spirit. And I walk. I have a bent in my life according to, in relationship to, in accordance to what the Spirit of God wants to do, because God worked in my life, because God saved me, God gave me grace, God brought me to himself, God gave me a transformed life. I just want to keep starting to reach for that more. I want to have that more. I want to grab that more. I'm recognizing the grace of God and what he did, and apart from him doing that, I had none of that, would never have none of that. Man, I want to... See what I'm trying to get to today, trying to encourage us today in the Word of God. The power and work of the Holy Spirit in your life has happened. Think about the things that you pray for God to do and ask him to do and the Holy Spirit to do. And what, think about those things in your life and your mind and what you do. God, help me. Thank you, Lord. We could do that, right? Thank you, Lord, that you already gave me in me a mind that desires to follow the Lord and a life that desires it. And I know, Lord, the battle is there, but the battle belongs to you, and there's that flesh. But Lord, I will keep going this way because you are God and you are at work and you're at work in me. It isn't about asking him more of this and more of that. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The only reason Christ doesn't strengthen me is because I'm not seeking him and the life that he's given me to follow him. I'm seeking him to give me what I want. That's the basic truth in there. I can be content in all things because Christ will bring me to contentment, because my new life in Christ can be absolutely content with all things because God gave it to me. And the assurance of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life can bring that to my life, because what God given me in my transformed life. That's amazing. It's incredible. And it brings conviction. It brings in our hearts kind of waning in this, and maybe, you know, gosh, I've been kind of. But it is a journey. As we move on here, it's a mindset in relation to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16, 13, and 14, where the Holy Spirit now can guide you into all truth, where he can teach you the way of God, where he can show you and lead you and to live in a manner that glorifies Christ. That's the pattern of thoughts, your affections, your will, your reasoning. It's new. It's new nature. It's a transformed life, despite many of our spiritual failures. Get this, your basic orientation of the innermost and your innermost concerns of your being have to do with the things of the Spirit of God. God did that. To transform life. He continues to give us this contrast. Look at it with me. Look at verses 6 through 8, and I'll move along in this. But here's this contrast that he gives to us, and he gives two kinds of spiritual equations. Those who live with their mind according to the flesh, and those who live with their mind according to the Spirit. Those who have the life according to the flesh with the mind set on the things of the flesh. This you see it here. Look at verse 6 through 8. Listen to what he says, this spiritual equation. This is incredible. He says, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. But the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Two equations. Those who live with a mind according to the flesh, it says, is death. It doesn't say leads to death, will bring death. It doesn't say that. It says is death. It means it's no life at all. It's not life at all. It's eternal damnation. Has always been set there. It is death. This is what he's saying. It doesn't lead to death, but is death, eternal death, spiritual death to the things of God now and always will be. And it says this, they're hostile to God. They're an enemy of God, unreconciled relationship, at enmity with God. No matter what they do, get this, no matter what they do, if they live according to the flesh, if they have their mindset according to the flesh, that means this is a statement of fact again. If they're lost and don't have the life in Christ, doesn't matter what they do, how kind they are, what happens? They are at enmity with God. It's hostile to God. That's what he says. It's hostile to me. And they cannot order themselves to God's law. They cannot subject themselves to God's word. They are under the law, under its condemnation, can never live to God's standards. None of their efforts will do any good. Catch this, because that's why the gospel is important. And they say they cannot please God. Listen to this. No matter how moral, how generous, how giving, how loving, how peaceable, how good, no matter how much they attend church or serve in the body of Christ, if they do not have the transformed life, they cannot please God. That really should infuse us that we better get on the gospel, amen? Because I don't care what you look like. And I don't care how much you serve and where you attend and if you're kind and generous and nice and moral. I don't care. Do you know Jesus Christ? Because apart from that, all of your goodness is enmity to God. You cannot please him. That's the truth of the gospel, you guys. Boy, our hearts really need to get pumped and encouraged, don't we? Because we fall into that good people are good people and God would accept them. The word of God says right here, never will happen. Because you cannot please God, I don't care how good you are. But you can have the salvation of Christ. You can have the life according to the Spirit, with the mind of the Spirit, the new nature, and live pathetically and please God. That sounds stupid, doesn't it? That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? I thought we were all here to live this beautiful, holy, wonderful life. We're here to glorify Christ. And the more Christ is glorified, the better we're doing. And let me tell you, when I ask for forgiveness and repent of my sin, he's glorified. When God shows me, Ken, that's not the way. Wow, that's a bad word, Ken, that you don't say those things. I mean, he works in my life, that this is glorifying Christ, not a perfect, beautiful, wonderful-looking life. Holiness, absolutely. But the body of Christ, the church, life is according to the Spirit of God or not according to the Spirit of God. It's salvation. It has a journey. It has a spiritual equation. I want this church, body of Christ, to understand the spiritual equation to somebody that's not saved is death. And then let us live in a manner that would encourage them and promote them and share with them the truth that Jesus Christ needs salvation. That should be definitive in our life and hearts. And we don't get so wrapped up in how perfect we are living, but how transformed life we are seeking. That makes sense? Amen. It's a transformed life that we have. It's not a perfect life. But here's the spiritual equation. Let me read it to you. It's in their text. Here's your spiritual equation if you have salvation, which comes with the transformed life. It's changed nature. You live with the mind according to, in relation to the Spirit. Here's what he says. It's life. Doesn't say perfect life. Doesn't say grand life. He says it's life. It's the life. It's God's life. It's the life that he came to give. It's eternal life, born again life, new with the new nature. 1 Peter 1:3 says, you have been given everything pertaining to life. It's life. The very life of God for you forever with a divine nature. All I care is if you have the life. That's all I care about with my kids and my family and my friends and my community and with you. That's all I care about. Do you have the life? God can handle what that's going to look like in your journey. He can handle if you stumble or fall or it looks like this, looks like that, or how, whatever it is. And I don't want to promote living. Probably use the wrong word on pathetic and that. I don't want to promote any of that. I want to promote holiness and the Word of God and a sanctified life and all of that, but it's about having the life, and I don't want you to look like you have the life when you don't have the life. Because at the end of it, man, I have to stand before God and give an account for every soul here, and I don't want to give an account that said, well, they kind of look good, so I never shared the truth of Christ with them. I don't want to say that. I want you to know Jesus Christ. I want you to have life, the life of God that he came to give. It's peace with God, he says, never not to be at peace with God. No more enmity, no more anger, no more wrath, complete reconciliation, a relationship with God of peace. No matter your sin, no matter your failures, no matter your doubts, no matter how you lose it to your flesh at times. Always and forever at peace with God. You can subject yourself to God's law. You can keep God's commandments. You can live God's way. You can believe and trust in the truth. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 119, you can treasure God's word in your heart so you don't sin against God. You can tell the Lord about your struggle. He will answer you. He'll teach you his statutes. He'll make you understand the way of his precepts. He'll strengthen you according to his word. He can remove every false way in you. He can enlarge in your heart. And what that means in the Hebrew is he can change the way you live. It's called sanctification. Because it's the way that you desire and he desires for you. You can exercise your salvation and become more like Christ in attitude, action, and thought. For he is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. And the pleasure of God is your sanctification that brings him glory. And you can please God. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10 says this, that we're learning to please him as children of light. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 says we make it our ambition to please the Lord. And we're working on that. That's the transformed life. It's life in the Spirit. It's what the Holy Spirit is doing in each and every one of us as believers. He gave us the life, and now he's bringing forth through that new nature, that new mind, that can understand God's word a way that we can live that pleases God. It's remarkable, isn't it? Isn't it remarkable? You, the one that didn't know the Lord, the one that was out there lost, that walked according to the flesh, and somehow the gospel came to you, you heard it, you repented, believed in Christ, and he just gave you life. That if the world could see it, everybody would get in line. I used to say this when I got saved, if I could share with you what God did in my life when he saved me and gave me this life, and I used to say it this way, have you ever went down in Lake Tahoe, heavenly run, you know, like snow skiing. I mean, it's way up there, and you're going down, and man, you know, you can describe that to somebody, what that's like, and it's just a beautiful, you know, snow's powder, it's a beautiful day, and all that kind of stuff. But if you could set them in your lap and let them take that ride, everybody would want to go. But I can't do that with the gospel, with the life that God gave me. All I can do is be a shining light and live the transformed life, what he gave me. And then God has to take it and his word and the truth of Christ, and he has to pierce that in your heart and show you what it's like to know God and have life. That's what he did to everyone that's a believer in Christ. That's what he did. It's a new nature. Old is gone, new is come. We have the flesh that we're battling. And we need to kind of close this up for today, but that's the beginning to look at this text and what he's talking about. He gives a description of two kinds of people, one that live according to the flesh, according to the spirit. With a mindset that's according to the flesh or according to the spirit, with a spiritual equation, which is no life hostile to God, cannot understand God's law, won't ever please God, to a life that is life, please, that is at peace with God forever, can subject themselves to God's word, God's law, change and grow, and that will please God. And he says this at the end, verse 9 through 11. We'll close with this. However, you're not in the spirit, or not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. I'll just stay with that. So this life that I've been describing, that we have, this transformed life, is with God's Holy Spirit. And all that I've said, that transformed life, now dwells with you every day, all the time. Right there. Right there. Never not there. Wanting to lead and guide you in the new life that you have in Christ, wanting to show you the truth of God's word, wanting to help you, to comfort you. All of the things that we could say, well, what the Holy Spirit does, and I won't list them out. But he's right there. Available, prompting, encouraging, convicting, all the things that God would do in the new life that he's given you. I wrote a quote in our website. I do that once a week. Every Tuesday I put a quote of the week. I wrote this one by Donald S. Whitney, and it says this: wherever the Holy Spirit dwells, his presence creates a hunger for holiness. His office is to magnify Christ, and it is he who gives the believer a desire to be like Christ. The natural man has no such passion, but in the Christian, the Spirit of God begins to carry out the will of God to make the child of God like the Son of God. And he who began a good work in you, and he who began a good work in the life of the believer, will carry it out to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's a transformed life. Let's pray. Father, I want to just in my heart take the theme that Pastor Tom gave us and just thinking about being grateful and thankful. And if we would ask anything, Lord, we would ask that you would work in our life to make us a testimony of Jesus Christ, that we would be willing in submission to your word and your way and the Holy Spirit's leading in our life, so the light of Christ would shine in each one of our lives, because the truth of it all is without it, no one will please God without the salvation of Jesus Christ. So we thank you for the grace that brought us to saving grace, our saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the mercy that we didn't receive what was due us. We thank you for your goodness that goes beyond our comprehension most of the time. We're thankful for the body of Christ you gave us to be a part of. We're thankful for the church family and for each and every one here in their battle to journey with you, to live for you, and that we can be an encouragement to anyone else. This week, as we celebrate with our families and think about all of this, Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity that you give each day for us to love you and for us to grow to become like more and more like Christ, and for us to be used by you to bring life. What a privilege and honor it is, Lord, to be yours. And we just praise and thank you for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.